this morning, we have a real treat to enjoy. And I've known this young man all his life. My middle son, Chris, and his family are with us this morning, Carmen and the three children. You get a chance to greet them before you're out of here this morning. The oldest and the tallest is Cole, the middle one is Court, and the youngest one in Mama's arms is Lorna. And so we're just grateful to have them here spending the weekend. Chris is a very passionate lover of Jesus, and so is Carmen. They love the Lord with all their hearts. They're involved in the, the Wenatchee Valley Praise Center. And Chris is very instrumental and heavily involved in the youth ministry there. He is enrolled in Jack Hayford's Bible School, the King's College, and on his way for pastoral ordination. And he has spoken in our midst back in Swansonville, some of you may remember, a very passionate heart for Jesus, and he's going to be bringing the message this morning. So let's welcome Chris Hunter as he comes.
Good morning.
Well, I'm excited to be here this morning. As everyone knows, or most of you probably know, it's the first day of football season, first day of the NFL. I'm a Seahawks fan. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment or something. Actually, it was growing up, the Seahawks have always been my favorite team. And I had a dream for a long time that they would make it to the Super Bowl. And I remember growing up and being in school, and everyone made fun of me because I thought the Seahawks would someday make it to the Super Bowl. And, of course, as you remember, the Seahawks were horrible or just average enough that they could never really improve and become one of those teams that could get to the Super Bowl. Well, as we all know, a couple years ago, they did actually make it to the Super Bowl. My dream actually came true, and, of course, the refs robbed us of a game. So my dream is that they will actually make it to a Super Bowl and actually not be robbed by the refs, but will actually win the game. And I'm contending for that dream to exist, you know. So, actually, the title of my message today is Impossible Dreams. I don't believe that's an impossible dream. It's a difficult dream, but it's not impossible. And they proved it a couple of years ago. Actually, if you will turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, that's where our main text is going to be today. I'm excited for this word today. It's been brewing on my heart for months, actually, specifically for you guys, for this church. So I'm very, very excited about this. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, in the New King James Version, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Father, we give you this, the rest of this service today, Lord. I ask that these words would not just be words from these pages, or they would not just come from me, but they would come directly from you. Lord, that they would speak to hearts today. I pray for release in the Spirit to reside in this place and to come upon each and every single person who's here, that hearts and ears would be open to receive the powerful Word of God today. In your name we pray. Amen. Before Carmen and I were married, we talked about children and how many we'd like to have. Carmen explained that she felt called for some time before that she wanted to adopt children. That was kind of her test for whichever man would stick around, you know, because that can freak some people out. As we talked about it, that didn't freak me out. In fact, I was kind of excited about it. So we both knew God was calling us to adopt. By going through the foster care system, it wasn't just we're going to adopt, you know, the easy way. We're going to go through the foster care system. We knew that would not be easy. We knew that our hearts could be dashed as children come in and out. But we knew it was God's call for us. We were delighted. So we had that as a vision. A few years after we were married, we were delighted to have our first son, Cole, and that was great. 3 years later, Court came along. But to make a long story short, we took the steps throughout that time, became licensed foster parents. We've had several children come in and out of our house for some short stays and some for a year. But after we had Court, we did decide it was time to look to adopt. So I'll come back to that story in a little bit. My first point today is called Remember the Promises. As we read from Genesis chapter 15, we read the promise from God for a son. But if you will remember throughout the Bible, that's not the first time God gave this promise. Actually, the first time God gave this promise is actually in chapter 12. We see God making this promise to Abraham. At this time, Abram is 75 years old. It got me thinking. Interesting. So how old was his father? Well, it actually tells us in chapter 11. And go ahead and turn there if you have your Bibles with you. Chapter 11, verse 10, it starts, it says, "These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he had fathered..." I can't even say that name, so I'm not even going to try to. "After the flood, Shem lived and he fathered, 500 years and had other sons and daughters. So his son lived 35 years and had a son." All right, skip down. "Zillah lived 30 years. Eber lived 34 years. Peleg lived 30 years. Reu lived 32 years. And Serug had lived 30 years and he fathered Nahor. Nahor had lived 29 years when he had Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years and had other sons and daughters. And Terah had lived 70 years and he fathered Abram." So I began to think about this, and I began to think, have you ever thought you were the last person on earth to get something that should be yours? Have you ever thought, everyone else around me is getting all this, we're parents, so we have what we have with our friends our age that are having kids, and it's almost like a competition. My kid did this first. My kid started walking at this age. They started talking at this age. And you have this little competition. Grandparents don't do that, do they? But there's this competition. We keep going until we win or our kid has won something. But as I was thinking about this, Abram is now 75 years old. He can look at his grandpa. His grandpa was 29. When he had a kid. His father was 70 already. So now here's Abram, and he's 75 years old, no kids. And he's probably already dealing with the fact that now he may never have children. And here at 75, God gives him this promise. Now, I don't know what kind of position you're in. I don't know what you're going through right now. But there are things that sometimes we go through life and we think, this should have happened by now. Something should have happened for my son or my daughter, or something I'm supposed to have experienced. It should have happened by now. And it's not happening. And God is here today to tell you, I'm giving you that promise. I'm giving you that dream. I'm giving you something to hold on to, something to cling on to, something that is yours. Amen. Don't lose sight of that. Perhaps you're sitting there and there's something you felt that should be happening. Maybe God put it in your heart. Perhaps it's some kind of work or a job. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that has wandered off, and you just know they're meant to be following after God. Maybe it's to see growth in Grace Christian Center.
Sure. Amen.
Hold on to those dreams. Hold on to those promises. Don't let things like time, age, or reason get in the way. Press on. Don't give up. God's got a plan, and no matter what or who you are, He's going to make it happen. My second point today is keep your eyes and ears focused on God. So after Carmen and I decided that we wanted to adopt, we began to look for foster kids. Now, we'd get calls all the time for kids. But we decided we're going to be very specific. We're going to take kids that there's a very, very real chance that they're going to become available for adoption. It was a long and frustrating time. In fact, after we decided to do that, it was 9 months before we got a call for any children. And as you can imagine, feeling the call of God, that was a frustrating 9 months as we're waiting and waiting and waiting and no call and no call. Finally, and throughout that time, we'd even have friends and families, and they're well-meaning and they're great and everything, but they say, well, you can adopt going through this. You can adopt by doing this. Even in the Wenatchee Valley, there became a an adoption agency called the Antioch Adoption Agency, which was free adoptions. And they'd say, well, you should look into that. And, well, but God called us to go through the foster care system.
Sure.
You know, and it was a long, long wait. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, some of those things, like even the Antioch adoptions, we did kind of look into them. But we're just coming back to the fact that it wasn't what God had called us to do. And we waited. And we waited. So here we are back to chapter 15 of Genesis. And God is now coming again and He's reaffirming the promise to Abram. But I noticed something in that section that we read. It wasn't God that brought up the child. It was Abram. God was talking about provision. And Abram was basically saying, God, what the heck, what is good about provision? What is good about a house? What is good about land if there's no child? What is good, what is it worth to have all the money in the world if there's nothing for me to pass on? If there's no one for me to pass it on to? What is it worth? What is it worth to have a building or to have land and have no one in it?
Right.
What is it worth to have property but not build a house to live on? What is it worth? I mean, it's all about people. That's what this is all about. And here's Abram. And it was Abram that reminded God that he still had children. Or that he didn't have children. Like God needed to be reminded of that. Here's Abram saying, great, I get a lot of good stuff. You get rich. That's cool. Too bad, it'll all go to a servant instead of a child. Abram had gotten so caught up in the dream. Now listen, he was 86 at this time in chapter 15. So years had passed already. So he's living, he knows the dream. He'd been caught up in living for a dream so much, he'd lost his focus. He'd taken his eyes off of God and put them on his circumstances. Who wouldn't be frustrated? Of course, just as we would do, like Abram did, we tell God about it. What I find is God is very interesting in His response. He tells Abram to do something that is impossible. He takes Abram outside and says, count the stars. Have you ever felt like God just asked you to do something that's impossible? I wonder how many stars he counted. One, two, three. Maybe he got to 100. But something happened when he got outside. When he got his eyes off himself. When he got his eyes off of where he was at. And all of a sudden he's looking up. And he's seen what God has done. And he's seen what God is capable of doing. And I'm telling you, the dream came back. And he began to believe in God. He began to say, yeah, one star right there, that's mine. One star right there, yeah, that's mine. One star right there, that's mine. Those treasures that we talked about this morning, what do you think? They're people. They're people. God is going to pull treasures out of treasure chests. And there are people that are going to come to this church that are looking for life, that are looking for someone to say, yes, you found a church, you found a home, you found a God. You found a God who loves you. You found a God who's wrapping His arms around you. You are that treasure.
Amen.
Somebody else is that treasure. People are the treasure. Now, I love going outside. I love nature. I love getting outside and even counting the stars. Even we were on vacation a month ago, and I took Cole and we stayed up late just to count stars, just to see the stars as they started appearing. Unfortunately, we're hidden behind trees and a little bit of clouds. Didn't get to count too many stars. But there's something amazing about getting outside and just being in the presence of God. All the frustration of life that seems to just disappear. I'm telling you, we've got to keep our eyes off of our circumstances.
That's good.
Look at chapter 16. You don't have to turn there, but chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, and this is the English Standard Version, says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Interesting, since the Lord was promising children. Go in to my servant, that it may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. That's actually in the Bible, right there.
Yeah.
He listened to the voice of Sarai. Sometimes the people around us, they think they're helping us out. They see us struggling. They see us going through all these things. Maybe you're like me and you tell somebody about your dream. Okay, I'm in Wenatchee. We're about to kick off one of the most exciting things that we've ever done as far as reaching children. And I have this dream, and it's an incredible dream. And I have a dream that the group of kids that are under me, we're going to be reaching 150 students by the end of Christmas.
Wow.
It's 12. It's 12 people right now. But I have this dream that we're going to reach 150 kids by Christmas. It's an impossible dream. But, I mean, I tell people that, and then some people will say, well, do this, do that, do this, follow this formula, do this, do that. But that's not the point.
Right.
It's not a formula. Maybe we get impatient. We say, well, I'll try what this church has done. Or I'll try what this youth group is doing. Or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And it doesn't work. The problem is, Abram stopped listening to God and began listening to Sarai. I spoke about this youth group, and we get people all the time, pastors and youth pastors, that will call our youth pastor or email him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing that's causing so much growth? Honestly, I don't think they like his answer. It's not what we're doing. It's prayer. It's all in prayer. It's all in the amount of effort and the amount of time that we spend in prayer.
Good.
You know, so many people, they run from place to place. They go to this church or that church. They're looking for a conference to go to. They're looking for the formula. They're looking to say, hey, that pastor, he's got a real anointing. I'm going to go listen to him, and I'm going to get that anointing. I'm going to take it back to my church. And they wonder why when they go back and they haven't spent any more time in prayer, they haven't spent any more time in the Word of God, and they go back to their churches and they don't see anything happen. In fact, their youth group usually shrinks. Or their church usually shrinks. It's because they wanted a formula. It's because they wanted what everyone else was doing. And God is not that kind of a God. He's not a God who says, follow what everyone else is doing. He says, listen to me and do what I'm telling you to do. And you'll see the growth. The anointing is great. And we all need the anointing. But it's not about the anointing that's on Pastor Joel Stockstill, who's got the youth group and the largest youth group in America. His anointing is cool, but it's for him. The anointing is for each of us. And it's all about the relationship. It's all about the amount of time that we spend in prayer. You know, even as a church is looking to grow, we may say, well, it's the pastor's responsibility. No, it's not. No. The pastor is the one who, he's got to deal with the church. He's got to deal with all the hard stuff of the church. But it's all the people. They're the ones that know everyone. They're the ones that know all those treasures that are in that treasure chest. They're the ones that are there to say, hey, I know you. You come to church with me. You come to church with me. You come sit right next to me. That's how it grows. See, Sarah, she wasn't coming up with something just out of the blue. She hadn't prayed about it and spent time with God and said, well, God, what do we do? You know, she was a part of this whole plan of having kids. Obviously, she was going to be very involved in this process. So I'm sure Abraham had told her, we're going to have a child. Okay, so she's looking for an answer too. She's looking to try to make this happen. And she says, but there's this tradition that we have. I'm giving other women and it'll work. Guess what? It did. They have a child. Isn't that interesting? It worked. But watch this. Watch what happens. They have this child, but then Sarai begins to despise this child. You see, when we try to make fruit happen, when we try to insist on making this dream happen, we go premature and we do something that God has not ordained, it might work. It just might work. But you're going to end up despising it. You're going to end up hating the fruit because it's not what God has brought in. In fact, it was so bad they separated and never saw them again. So don't get impatient. Don't get caught looking at your circumstances. Don't get caught listening to the people around you. Keep yourself focused on God. Keep yourself focused in prayer. My next point is take action. All this does not mean we just sit around and wait for something to happen. If you know the story, this whole story of Abram from chapter 11 all the way through, he's moving from place to place. he has to rescue Lot several times. He has to rescue family. I mean, he's doing all kinds of things. God is taking him from one place to another place, from here to there. And sometimes we think God wants us here, and so let's just get there. But God's saying, no, you need to get here first and get this fixed, and then get here and get here and get here. And sometimes it's a loop-de-loop, and we go, well, God, you said here, but he's taking you around this way. And we go, that doesn't make sense, but God is keeping us busy. God is keeping us doing something. And maybe it's in that time frame. Maybe it's what God is wanting you to do. We don't understand. How many times in the Bible does God tell people to do something that doesn't make sense? I mean, you look at almost all of the military campaigns. I mean, can you imagine being the tribe of Judah? Okay, here we are. We're not warriors. We're singers. We're supposed to go in front of the army? Thanks. I'll sign up for the tribe of Benjamin. You know? Supposed to just sing? I've never heard of that working. Somehow it works, though, and the entire army is wiped out, and they get to go pillage the army outside the camp.
That's right.
You know, God tells us to do things, and it doesn't make sense to us. It seems like it's the opposite of what he said will happen.
Right.
We need to do it anyways. We just need to obey. We need to keep ourselves busy. We got to keep ourselves moving. It's not about sitting around waiting for 20 people to show up at church on Sunday. If we wait for 20 new people to show up at church on Sunday, they're going to be showing up at another church. So many people are just content to sit back and wait. Well, you can keep on waiting, but it's not going to make anything happen. Waiting means doing what God says. It rarely does when God asks us to do it. By the time we get to chapter 17, another 13 years have passed, and there's still no child. Abram's now 99 years old. It probably can't get much lower for Abram. It certainly couldn't get much lower for Sarai. They're still waiting. And from what I gather from the Bible, they're pretty much sure that they're out of time. There's no way they can have children. And yet in chapter 17, God shows up again. He promises, this time it's not a promise for provision. This time it's a promise for a son. The response from Abram and Sarah is incredibly laughter. Now, I don't think that this is because they thought it was funny. You ever heard something and it's just so far out there, all you can do is laugh? I mean, like the idea of the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. You just laugh it off. It's my team too. I don't think it's because they thought it was funny. I think it's because they'd already dealt with all the emotions that they could have had regarding having children. And laughter is the only way they could deal with this promise again. You ever been waiting, 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 and waiting, even for something God has promised? And you thought, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Don't bring that promise back. Don't tell me it's going to happen and then not do it. I've waited too long for this to happen. The only thing you can do is just trust. But something happens in this experience with God. This time God changes something. If you look at what happened, in this time, God changes both the names. Abram is changed to Abraham. Sarai is changed to Sarah. See, God changed something. And when God is getting ready to fulfill that impossible dream, when he's getting ready to make what seemed impossible, something is going to change. Something is going to change in you. It's going to be a radical change. It's going to take you from being this to being that. What had seemed impossible to them, God was able to make it happen. Now, this was not an immaculate conception. I have to say, this was not just it wasn't God showing up and Mary's pregnant. You know, this was, they had to take action.
Sure.
They had to do something. Yeah, I don't really want to think about it, but they had to take action. But they did, and guess what? A few months into that year, they sure knew something was up. They sure knew someone was growing. And they had a baby a year later, just as God had promised. Hey, they weren't perfect. They made mistakes along the way. But God was bigger than all that, bigger than all their mistakes. The circumstances that seemed to be against them, God turned them around and made everything come together. The faith of Abraham was not shown by just his words when he said, "I believe God." It was shown by his action. Many people think that faith is just having the right mindset. It's just your mindset, okay, I believe in God. But no, faith is shown by our action. It's in doing what he tells us to do. And as we do that, he is faithful to do what he has promised to you. Those dreams you dreamed when you were young, they're still there. Or the ones that you're still waiting for, they're still there. God's going to make them happen. These promises God has given to you will come to fruition. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Contend for them. So after 9 months of waiting for just one call from the state about a child, finally we received a phone call. There was a chance that this baby would come up for adoption, but it wasn't a high chance. It didn't really take us long to consider, and we said, yes, we'll take this child. We brought this baby home from the hospital. At first, it looked like it was a pretty good chance that she'd come up for adoption. And we were praying that it would happen. But then, as we started finding out some more of her family history and everything, suddenly it went from looking possible to now it's almost impossible. It turned out there was Native American in her family, and that particular tribe is one that is well known for not allowing children to be adopted outside the tribe. My wife and I were not part of a tribe. So obviously, it was kind of looking impossible. The tribe had found another family that they were going to give her to if the parental rights were removed from the mother. But still we were praying. We were holding out whatever little hope we could hold on to. We found there was even extended family that did want to have her. As we got to know them, we kept thinking, it's not a good idea. But we're dealing with the state here. So what's not a good idea seems to be a good idea for them. The tribe, somehow, all of a sudden, things started to change. The tribe, I don't know what happened, I just believe it was God. But the tribe decided she was not enough Native American, not enough for their tribe. So they released, they decided she wasn't enough to be considered part of the tribe. But they still held on to her rights. They were still controlling the whole situation. And that was a rough time because here she's in limbo. We couldn't do anything. They couldn't even go to the extended family and rule them out as a possibility. They were just waiting. Finally, sometime later, the tribe did release her. And that was that was some of the best news we'd ever heard. Because now there is a chance. Amen. Now there is a chance. So then, it began to look hopeful. We were still praying. There were still many mountains to come. Because in ruling out the family, that takes months. It can take up to 6 months for just one family member. And there were two that were interested. But it only took about 2 months. And last month, while we were on vacation, as we were driving, we got a phone call. Pretty much one of the greatest phone calls we could ever receive. Carmen, with tears in her eyes, had said, we're going to be able to go through the process of adopting. It's not final yet. There's still the court stuff, but pretty much, it's almost a sure thing now. we're going to be able to adopt our little baby girl. And God is so faithful.
Amen.
All the things that seemed impossible, God just made them into little tiny dirt piles. Now you may be saying to yourself, you may be sitting here saying to yourself, well, at my age, we just don't dream anymore. What has happened in my life was of God, and what hasn't happened in my life was of God. Dreams, what about dreams? Well, guess what? The Word of God says in Joel chapter 2, verses 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. See, God is going to give you dreams. Without dreams, what is life worth living? Why would God give old men dreams? Why? It's just so they can die and never see them happen? No, God gives them dreams to see them come to fruition. God is going to make them come to pass. It's time to get a dream. If you don't have one, you need to spend time in the presence of God and say, Lord, what is the dream you have for me? It's time to get in the presence of God and receive the dream from God. Maybe you already have that dream and you feel like it's been lost. I'm here to tell you today, God is going to make that dream come to pass.
Amen.
And finally, I have just one more thing, and this is almost prophetic for this church. As I was reading through the prophets this summer, I came across scripture in Haggai, and as soon as I read it, it was like, this is for this church. It's Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. It says, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you first came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know all the history of Port Ludlow or the churches that have come and gone, but I felt very strongly that this church, Grace Christian Center, was going to see this, the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it will be greater than the former glory. I don't know what has happened in Port Ludlow. I don't live here, so I just haven't studied it out. But I absolutely firmly believe that God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit
Amen.
Into the Port Ludlow region and beyond in a way that you have never seen.
Amen.
In a way that this region will know that God is alive and God is well. And God is about to do something very powerful in your midst. And I believe that with all my heart. So get ready. Get the dream. Get a vision. Understand it. Hey, it's going to be impossible. I don't care how old you are. It's going to be impossible. But God will make it happen before your time is up. Are you ready for that today?
Yes.
You ready for that today?
Yes.
I just have... Dad, will you come up and just play your guitar? Just... instrumental.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I don't know what you've been through, but if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads. I just believe that God is ministering to people even right now as I speak. Some of you, you've had dreams. You've had a vision for what a son or a daughter should be doing. Maybe it's a grandchild. You said, these will be serving the Lord, and right now they're not doing that. But this day, God is coming to you and He's telling you that dream is alive and well. It may be 20 years, it may be 30 years, but God is going to make it happen. And I'm wondering if there's anyone in here right now, and you would say, that is a dream that I have and it's not happening. You're willing to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Go ahead, all over the room. Yes, hands are going up all over the room right now. Yes. Say, I've got a dream. It's for a family member. It's for a son or a daughter or a grandchild. I've got a dream. seems impossible. Jesus, we just pray right now for a release of the anointing of God to fall in this place. That every single person whose hand is raised, they would know that God has given them that dream. It's not of themselves, but God has given them that dream, and that dream will come to fruition. Through the difficult times and through the times where it seems like nothing is happening and where God is just, He's moving you around and it seems to go the opposite direction. God is faithful. God is still strong. God is here for you. I just pray the Spirit of God would fill you up right now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. God, you can drop your hands now. I got one more question for you. Is there anyone in here today and you would say, I have never given my life to Jesus. I've never been saved. You'd say, I don't have a dream because I don't know Jesus. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You'd like to accept Jesus today? All right. Jesus, we just pray right now for this church, this building right now that's in use right now. I pray that it would fill very quickly with people.
Yes.
I pray that the Spirit of God would move in Port Lando and in this region to cause people to come, to seek the truth, to seek the hand of God, that they would come and that they would realize that God is alive and well in this church, that they would come, they would find a place they can call their home. They would come, they would find a place where they can meet with God. Pray that this building would grow and they would soon outgrow it so that even the city that is causing so much trouble right now and even the county that's causing so much trouble right now, they would just release the hold they've had on this church. I believe right now that even that property that this church is getting ready to see, that it would come to pass very soon, that it would fill up too. Lord, I pray for a complete change of the harvest that is coming in, that it is ready to go, that it would come in. And Lord, that those who are here would be willing to be the laborers to go out and bring in people, to go out and bring them in, to find those treasures and bring them in and receive them as the treasures of the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Chris was talking. He was quoting the scripture from Joel, "Your old men shall dream dreams." And I thought, long, long time ago, Christopher's old man had a dream. And he saw it being in fulfillment this morning. Pastor Sherry wrote a note. Pastor Sherry wrote a note. She said, "Gail would have been very proud." Fantastic word, CJ. Fantastic word. How many believe the Lord has spoken to you this morning? Amen. God has brought a young man from far away to speak to us. What a great God. We sing a song around here, and sweetie, I appreciate the song you're playing. It's the song I played or brought out earlier, but let's switch it, okay? Let's finish with something that says, "I believe God, trust and obey." And let's simply believe Him. But let's go ahead and stand, and we'll sing this together. Key of G. Here we go, hon. There we go. What a great God. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and you know you'd like to talk afterwards, we'll be honored to pray with you. And if the Lord has touched you in some way, and you've, as Chris said, never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your day to do so. God wants to move. He has fantastic things planned. Do you believe that? No, I said, do you believe that? Lord, we believe you. We put our trust in you this day. Now, bless each person that's come here this day. And as they go forward, show them right in front of their eyes the fulfillment of impossible dreams. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a fantastic week in the Lord. God bless you. Be released.